Hello and welcome to the Helix Reviews podcast. My name is David Arrington, bringing you reviews from a Christian geek worldview. And today on the show, I'm going to be talking about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse and Aquaman, two big superhero movies that I was super excited for. I wanted to get these reviews out a bit faster, but I just that just didn't happen ultimately. And so now here, both of these reviews in one episode. Let's just jump straight into it. Let's talk about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
My name is Peter Parker. I'm pretty sure you know the rest. I saved the city, fell in love, then I saved the city again and again and again. Look, I'm a comic book, a serial, I did a Christmas album, and a so-so popsicle. But this isn't about me. Not anymore.
Miles Morales is the one and only Spider-Man of his universe, but when a major villain shows up who threatens not only his universe, but the entire multiverse, Miles must team up with other alternate universe versions of Spider-Man to save the multiverse.
Spider-Man swings in once a day, zip-zaps up in his little mask and answers to no one. I love you, Miles.
Yeah, I know that.
You gotta say I love you back.
Dad, are you serious?
I wanna hear it.
Look at this place.
Dad, I love you.
Dad, I love you.
That's a copy.
Ladies and gentlemen!
My name is Miles Morales.
Brooklyn!
I'm the one and only Spider-Man. At least that's what I thought.
You ever hear of the Super Collider? You're gonna love this.
Dimension opening now.
You're like me.
That's impossible.
This is the part of the show where I talk about the themes, the messages, the ideas that came out of this movie. Okay, so thematically, I mean, of course, this is a Spider-Man movie. So obviously, they're going to have the theme of with great power comes great responsibility here. And that is definitely in there. No, they do shy away from saying the actual quote, with great power comes great responsibility. But they do it in not like a weird kind of awkward way like they did in The Amazing Spider-Man. They just kind of, they do it in a more natural way, a little bit more clever of a way. And I actually thought it was pretty well done for not having that line in there while still trying to make that same point at the same time. Now, what this film is actually about, though, that's kind of there because it's Spider-Man. It's almost unavoidable to have that theme in there to some extent. But what the film is actually about, though, is doing big things or doing great things. Like the question is brought up, you know, how do I know when I'm ready? How do I know when I'm ready to do these big or great things? Am I ready to be, you know, the good guy or the hero or this great, you know, doer that I want to be, you know, that I'm supposed to be even. I don't know. I don't feel ready. I don't feel adequate. You know, I don't know if I can be one of, you know, quote unquote, those guys that are the big, you know, heroes or the guys that do all this big, great stuff. And there's a very clear answer to this idea in this movie. Whether you feel inadequate, or even if you think you can do it or can't do it, whether you have people that believe in you or don't believe in you, there's always something that you need to do first in order to be that guy or know if you're going to be that guy. What you need to do is take a leap of faith. You never truly know for sure if you can do the great thing that you're setting out to do, but you need to go ahead and take that leap of faith. You need to take a step out and you need to try. You know, you need to start and have the confidence to believe that you can finish whatever this is that you're starting. Now, overall, I would say that this is a good biblical idea. But I would also argue that if you're taking a leap of faith, you have to have something to put your faith in, right? And so, of course, you know, in the movie, they never express exactly what they're putting their faith in, other than, you know, maybe themselves or, you know, the power of the human spirit or whatever. You know, they're placing faith more in themselves, I think, than anything. Of course, me being a Christian, I would say you need to put your faith in God. And then when you're taking that leap of faith, you're putting your faith in God. So you're trusting God that this will work out and that God will work all things together for the good of those who love him, like the Bible says. When God, you know, tells the disciples in the Bible to preach the word and they say, you know, how will we know what to say? Jesus says, I will give you the words. He's basically saying, hey, you have to take that leap of faith. You know, it's you're going to have to take this step and trust and believe in God in order to do this great thing. And that is communicating the gospel, you know, and then, you know, God through the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. And I mean, this is a scary thing, especially for people who like me, who are very antisocial. And it's already, you know, talking to somebody is already kind of an energy zapping thing. And so, you know, like sharing my faith, it's something I'm not very good at because of that. And I need to work on that. But It definitely does take that leap of faith in order to do this great thing. And so I think, you know, what this movie is saying is like, hey, you do need to take a leap of faith in order to figure out if you can even do these great things. And the benefit of us as Christians is we can know that God can give us the right words. You know, maybe not everything will work out every time because that's how God works. Not that he doesn't work out, but that, you know, he needs to teach us a lesson sometimes too. But we can have more faith, we can have more confidence because we have something greater than ourselves that we're putting our faith in. So overall, I would say this movie has a pretty positive message overall, I would say. Some pretty good stuff here, and I'm going to leave you with a little message from Stan Lee that also kind of supports the themes of this movie. So Stan Lee said, quote, "That person who helps others simply because it should or must be done, and because it is the right thing to do, is indeed, without a doubt, a real superhero."
All right, kid, listen up.
This fry is your universe. It's soggy, it's weird, it's gross. And this delicious normal fry is my universe.
So you want to learn to be Spider-Man?
Can you teach me?
Yes, I can. Time to swing.
Ah!
Good, you're doing it. Double tap to release and whip it out again.
Okay.
Swip
and release.
You're a natural. Swip.
Spider-Man is my favorite superhero of all time. I love this character, and I love he's my favorite fictional character of all time. I absolutely love the character of Spider-Man, but when I say that, I'm referencing the Peter Parker Spider-Man. That is not the main Spider-Man in this movie, though he shows up in this movie. The Spider-Man that is in this movie is the Miles Morales Spider-Man, aka the Ultimate Spider-Man from the Ultimate Universe. So this is actually a Spider-Man I know significantly less about, though I still do like this character, though I have not read very many of his comics. I've most of the comics that I've read with him are him with other people, and you know, and then a few of his solo comics as well. But for the most part, I have not read the Ultimate Spider-Man series. And so I'm going into this without quite as strong of a connection to this character as I would if it was, you know, Peter Parker as Spider-Man. But on the other hand, I've read Spider-Verse, and Spider-Verse is fantastic. I absolutely loved that comic book series written by Dan Slott. Check it out if you haven't. It's really good. It's not exactly what you see here in the movie, but it's really good. And so as a big fan of that storyline, I was excited to see this adapted into this movie. I mean, in some ways, I was kind of going, you know what? I would have kind of have liked this movie to be a live-action version. But you know what? Maybe it works better as an animated movie, especially now after I've seen it. So let's talk about the thing that really just, like, that really pops out to you immediately. The visual style of this movie is extremely interesting. It definitely takes some getting used to at first, because like looking at it at first, I was like, oh, okay, there's little bits of this that I'm like, okay, this is kind of weird. But man, once you get used to it, and then you really, I grew to love it, because It is so bonkers and unlike anything I've ever seen. It's just spectacular and awesome, and I loved it. It's extremely bright and colorful and bombastic, and it's so visually striking. And then apart even from the visual style, but just the style in general of this movie is so upbeat, fast-paced, and colorful. I mean, you know, colorful visually, but just colorful as far as the story goes and the mood goes and everything. In this movie, they'll split up the screen like comic book panels. This is so influenced by comic books in ways that you've never quite seen in superhero movies before. Though, you know, cutting it up into panels, that has been done before. The Ang Lee Hulk movie, which is not super great, but that they did that there, and they did it here to even better effect, in my opinion. They have like written sound effects that like pop up on the screen, like, you know, the old Batman show, but it actually works here because it's an animated and it kind of fits the crazy style that they're going for. And probably the most interesting thing about the style of this movie is that there's more than one visual style in this movie. You have a bunch of different Spider-Mans who are all from different dimensions, right? And each one of them has a very different and distinct style to themselves, which is really, really cool in concept, but I was kind of, you know, questioning how that well this was actually going to work, you know, once you get it. In execution, is this going to work as well as conceptually it sounds? But it does. It completely works so well. The animations totally blend together, and yet they still look like their own very, you know, distinct, unique animation styles. So, okay, I'm going to go through the characters here, and I'm going to talk about some of the styles, and I'm going to talk about the characters themselves. So, I mean, first off, you have Miles Morales. This is the lead character of the movie, and his style is very, very comic booky. You can even see, like, all the little dots and things that you see in the old comic book art, which is just so, so cool. You know, it's not something that I expected out of, you know, out of a Spider-Man animated movie, out of an animated superhero movie. Like, such a little distinct detail to its comic book origin is just so, so cool. And as a character, Miles Morales is extremely fun and energetic, and he's very young. You know, he's the new young Spider-Man, and he's very distinctly different from the character of Peter Parker, but he also has, you know, the traits of Spider-Man, you know? And that's something that, you know, I could say is true about all of these individual Spider-Mans to one extent or another, but it seems to be most true for Miles Morales here. A fantastic leading man for this movie. I'm really glad that they did choose Miles Morales instead of Peter Parker as the lead. You know, let's change things up and get a new character here, but also kind of a good, almost familiar kind of character, even if you haven't, you know, read those comics. And just a great, great character. And then you have Spider-Gwen, okay, another big character here. Spider-Gwen is a character that I very much enjoy in the comics, and she has a more, like, clean-cut, smooth, clear animation, and she's great. I like this character in the comics, and this is just a fantastic adaptation into film, and, you know, they've announced, like, the Spider-Gwen with some other, you know, female Spider-Man characters spin-off movie, and dude, I'm so on board for that after seeing her here, because she was awesome in this movie. And then you have the Peter Parker version of Spider-Man. Now, this version, I thought, looked very similar to the I guess it's like probably just somewhere in between like the Miles Morales kind of animation and the Gwen Stacy. Maybe, you know, slightly less on the comic booky side. I guess we get to see more of Miles Morales's world than we do Peter Parker's world here. But animation wise, I think his is less distinct than some of the other ones. And really, Gwen Stacy, Miles Morales, and Peter Parker, their animation styles are the closest to each other, though there is some distinct, you know, similar differences, I guess, between each of them. And this Peter Parker was fantastic. I loved this version of Peter Parker. This is like the Peter Parker past his prime. Like, I really just wish in some ways that they made this guy the Peter Parker from the Tobey Maguire movies, because this seems like where that Peter Parker could have gone down the road. And I just loved this character. Like, this was so fun. It's Jake Johnson, and it's very much kind of his personality coming through in animation form, and it's so fun and funny, and I love this version of Peter Parker. Fantastic, fantastic. Another one you got Spider-Man Noir, played by Nicolas Cage, which is like, when he speaks up, it's like, whoa, I immediately hear that voice, and I'm like, that's Nicolas Cage, that's like weird, but very fun. Also, his animation style, he's in black and white, old black and white kind of animation. They could have made him a little bit grainier, I think. That would have been fun, but, you know, black and white, you know, there you go. It's fun, and him as a character is fun. Definitely one of the characters, I think, that had less character development. I guess the next three characters here have the less character development, whereas the main focus is on, you know, Spider-Man, Peter Parker, Miles Morales, and Gwen Stacy characters. But Spider-Man Noir was extremely fun. Then you have Spider-Ham, which is the animated version. Not actually the most distinct version, actually. Like, one of the most distinct versions of Spider-Man here. Very different, very, you know, cartoony, stupid looking. And it works. You know, Spider-Ham as a character, I'm not really a big fan of. But he's goofy and stupid, and it fits in with the movie, and it you know, provides the comedic relief and anything kind of that it needs to in this movie. So it completely works, though. You know, if they're talking about making a Spider-Ham solo movie or something, I could pass on that one, frankly. Not that I would. I would watch it, but you know what I'm saying. Anyway, then you have Penny Parker. This is the anime Spider-Girl, and she has like a robot, and she is, you know, she's probably the most distinct of the animations, because she's just straight up anime in with the animation. Now, and they do make it slightly more animated, you know, so they kind of adjust each of these animation styles to mesh together better, and it totally works for that. But she's pretty much straight up anime, and that's pretty fun, and she acts like an anime Spider-Girl, you know, if you know what I mean. So that's pretty much who she is, and she was fun as well. Now, as far as the story goes, excellent, excellent story. I mean, as far as an adaptation of the comics, it's not all that close to the comics, really. I mean, it definitely takes a bunch of cues from the comics. The entire idea of the story is from the comics, though it's just executed very differently. Like, the villain of the comics don't even show up in the movie. The villain of the comics is essentially like some monsters that hunt down all the Spider-Mans in each universe. They have to team up to take them out, kind of thing. Here, the villain is Kingpin, who has kind of a stupid-looking design, honestly. Every time the Kingpin popped up, I was like, okay, he got the stupid-looking design. And obviously the girl sitting behind me thought so too, because every time he popped up, she just laughed at him the entire time, because, I mean, his design was pretty stupid looking. honestly, that's one of my least favorite parts of this movie, is Kingpin's design, and just going like, I get making him really big and everything, but just his design's really kind of meh. I don't like it. Anyway, back to the story. You know, as far as an adaptation goes, I'd say it's solid, but it's very much different. You know, it gets the spirit of the comic without completely adapting the story of the comic. But, I mean, just as far as a story in and of itself, it's fantastic. It's hilarious, it's breakneck speed, but it also slows down, it gives you those character moments, and when it needs to, it can kind of hit you with the feels a little bit in there as well. Fantastic story, and great characters. I mean, honestly, as a Spider-Man fan, I really could not have asked for this movie to be better than it was. It was just absolutely fantastic. Great characters, great bonkers, unique style, and a great fun story with a good little message packed in there as well. Fantastic stuff.
Hey guys.
Who are you?
I'm Gwen Stacy. I'm from another dimension.
How many more spider people are there?
Hey, fellas.
This could literally not get any weirder.
It can get weirder.
Okay.
We need to get back to our universes soon.
Brooklyn is going to collapse. My family lives in Brooklyn.
Whoa.
Miles, what's wrong?
This was never your city. It's mine.
If I don't destroy the collider,
none of us will have a home to go home to.
Remember, what makes you different?
Let's go!
Is what makes you Spider-Man.
Officer, I love you.
Wait, what?
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is rated PG for frenetic sequences of animated action, violence, thematic elements, and mild language. I would give it a 5 out of 5 stars on the enjoyability scale.
That way. Other way.
Do animals talk in this dimension? Because I don't want to freak them out.
The Helix Reviews podcast is a proud member of the Christian Geek Central Network, a hub of all kinds of cool Christian geeky stuff from around the web that's all funneled into one place, ChristianGeekCentral.com. Check it out. All right, so that was Into the Spider-Verse. Now we're going to move on to the next superhero movie on the agenda, Aquaman.
Legend has it that one day, a new king will come. Who will use the power of the Trident to put Atlantis back together again.
This is the exact spot that Volko gave me my first swimming lesson.
I already know how to swim.
Not even close.
You have to forget all the teaching of the surface world. Go deeper. Uncover your Atlantean instincts.
He spent his entire life training. Training to be the best.
My parents made me what I am. I am the protector of the deep.
Arthur Curry, aka Aquaman, learns that he is the heir to an underwater kingdom of Atlantis and must step forward to lead his people and be the hero that the world needs to save the world from Ocean Master, who is going to wage war on the surface world. Now I'm going to do this review a little bit differently because I have so little to actually say about it thematically, and there's a couple reasons for that. First off, this movie isn't very thoughtful, and it's thematically it's not very thoughtful. It feels like they made this movie without really thinking about the themes or ideas in this movie very much. But obviously that doesn't mean they're not in there. It just means that they're not very well thought out is what that means most of the time. And also, in between me watching the movie and now, I didn't take very many notes on some of the thematic elements of the movie. And so I've kind of totally forgotten what thematically this is about because it's not very thought-provoking. Honestly, it's not a very thought-provoking movie, and honestly, that does go to its detriment a little bit, where, you know, if they went for something a little bit more thought-provoking, they could have made this movie a little bit better than it was, I think. There is some themes of, like, family in there, the bond of family and the importance of that relationship and how that can affect a person as far as, you know, whether the family as together or apart, how that, you know, will deeply affect a person or a character. And you can see characters taking wildly different paths based on, you know, how what their family dynamic is and what and the relationship with their family and those kind of things. Then there's themes about, like, you know, heroes being more important than kings. And I don't know, some different things that, again, I kind of have forgotten about because it's not very well thought out in the movie. At least it doesn't seem that way to me. So moving into the actual review portion of the review here, first off, Atlantis, spectacular. So cool. The world that they created within the DC universe here, like the whole Atlantis and the monsters that they ride there, the city they built up, and all the colors and the visuals of that is spectacular and awesome. I absolutely loved the setting of this movie. There's awesome monsters, both like real world monsters and like kind of otherworldly, you know, sea creature of ancient days kind of monsters, and whenever they pop up, they're pretty much always really, really cool. That is what this movie just like really, really nails. Character-wise, Jason Momoa as Aquaman. I mean, this is definitely the best stuff we've seen of him as Aquaman. I mean, all we've seen of him so far was Justice League, and so I mean, it's really not saying much per se, but I thought he was a pretty good Aquaman. Honestly, I think he could be a little better. I guess this Aquaman differs from the Aquaman in the comics that I like, but even playing it the way he does, I don't know. I think you could get a little bit better than he has or he does in this movie. That said, I enjoy him as Aquaman. I think he's a fun Aquaman, even if he's not quite the Aquaman that we see in the comics. Amber Heard as Mera. In a lot of ways, I feel very much the same. I think we could get a better version of her as Mera, and I think this actress could do a better version of her as Mera. That said, I think it was pretty good. It was pretty good, and I enjoyed it all the way around in her dynamic and relationship with Jason Momoa as Aquaman. I thought was pretty good. William Dafoe's in here as Vulko. Great. I love William Dafoe. He totally nails that character. Perfect. Awesome. Patrick Wilson as King Orm, or as Ocean Master. Really, in some ways, I'm kind of disappointed with his performance. Not necessarily with his performance, in as much as the use of his character in the movie. I think this movie needed to focus on him more. There's a secondary villain in this movie, Black Manta, that they keep going back to him, and I think they needed to cut Black Manta's storyline out of this movie completely. Just remove Black Manta's storyline completely, focus completely on Patrick Wilson as King Orm, or as Orm, and him trying to take the throne, and Aquaman going, hey, I guess I need to take this throne, I guess, and that whole struggle, that dynamic. I think it could have been so much more powerful if we spent more time developing that, instead of, you know, we had like enough time developing it, but we could have had more to really make it hit home by the end of the movie, which it doesn't quite do. Though I love Patrick Wilson as an actor. Patrick Wilson, I think he could do a better job in this role than ultimately he did. Though overall, I thought he was pretty good. He was pretty good as King Orm. Though I think he could do better as King Orm. Dolph Lundgren also, by the way, is in this movie. Great, I like Dolph Lundgren. And so him just showing up in the movie, I'm like, cool, nice. Yes, cool. All right, let's talk about Black Manta. The guy that plays Black Manta. Oh boy, I should not have gotten into this looking at his name. Okay, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II. Okay, I'm not even going to try that again because I totally messed it up the first time, and I will not get better the second time. That's the guy that plays Black Manta. he's the best part of this movie. I loved Black Manta in this movie. Such a great villain, such a great kind of backstory that they built up a little bit in this movie and all this kind of stuff. Like, I really loved him as a villain here. Black Manta, like, Black Manta is his arch nemesis. Black Manta is Aquaman's arch nemesis. He deserves a movie all on his own. I really think if they cut Black Manta out of this movie and had him be the sequel to this movie, then it would have worked so much better. I mean, first off, they used up his best motivation, which I guess I won't spoil because I don't know if it was revealed in the trailers, but they used up his motivation here. And so it's like they're kind of just throwing away things that could make for an excellent second movie. And if they cut that out again, they could have had more time to focus on Orm. They could have had more time to focus on Arthur and Mara. And they could have had more time to really make a bigger impact when everything goes down at the end of the movie. Because ultimately, I enjoyed this movie. This movie is fun, but it doesn't quite have the impact that the movie really needs to in order to be as good as they want the movie to be. And so this actor as Manta, I love it. He's great as Manta, and this version of Black Manta is fantastic. And I'm totally on board. If they do make a sequel with him, then I'm totally like on board for that. But it feels like they kind of wasted him in some ways because he was so good. And they, again, if they just kind of cut it out and made the more important stuff for this movie more of the focus, even more of the focus on that, then I think this would have been a better movie overall. James Wan is the director. I really like James Wan as a director. He directed the Conjuring movies. He directed the first two Insidious movies. And he's a good horror director. That's primarily what he's done in the past. He's directed my favorite Fast and the Furious movie, Furious 7. And the reason it's my favorite is because he builds characters. He built the characters better in Furious 7 than I think any of the other Fast and Furious movies did. And that's a major reason he makes really, really effective horror movies, is because he can build great characters. And then, you know, he also knows how to, you know, build the tension and the scares and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, because he can build these great characters, those scares, when he does do them, are even scarier, right? And so that is, I guess, more what I was hoping he would also bring to Aquaman. And while, you know, all the characters in general, for the most part, I'd say, they're pretty good. They're solid. They're pretty good. They're not, in my opinion, on the level of the characters that James Wan has created in the past, which is disappointing because this is Aquaman, one of my favorite superheroes. I love the character of Aquaman. I think he in the comics, they have some storylines with him that is so cool and so much better than you might think a character named Aquaman would be, and it's awesome. And I love him in the comics, and so it's like, in the movies, it's like, dang it, you know? I wanted this to be better than it was, even though ultimately I did really enjoy this movie. This movie is extremely fun. Visually, it's bright, it's interesting. The world that they have is very unique because, I mean, what other movies almost primarily take place underwater in that way? You know, I mean, you could probably name one or two or something, but for the most part, this is a extremely unique place to put a movie. And I mean, granted, like, half the movie takes place above water. If they make a sequel, I do hope they have it even more underwater, you know, primarily take place underwater. I think that would be cool. But the setting of this movie is very unique and, for the most part, I think very well executed. Again, some of the monsters and some of the things that they do in here is very cool and very much Aquaman and his world and his story, which is very cool. They definitely pull a lot from Geoff Johns' run of Aquaman in the comics. I think they pull too much from his run, because it seemed like they were trying to fit the entirety of Geoff Johns' run, which is like 50 issues or something kind of big, into this movie. They needed to take out Black Manta altogether. I almost think they could have changed how they did the story with the Trident or something. I don't know. I mean, I think there's some things they could have done a little differently in order to more streamline the movie. The movie is kind of all over the place. The storyline, it's kind of a worse version of Black Panther, is kind of what it is. Because you got the kings fighting for, you know, who should be king. You got people on both sides and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's, whereas, like, Black Panther did it so well, and by the time, you know, you get to the end, you really feel that impact at the end of the movie when everything goes down. At the end of this movie, it was kind of so much all over the place, and then you have this other, you know, side story and all this with Black Manta and you know, other spoilery stuff that I'm not going to talk about. You know, once you go through all that, you know, the driving focus of the movie, it's kind of scattered. It's kind of a little bit scatterbrained, even though, yeah, I mean, we're kind of all driving towards one point. There's all this other kind of stuff that kind of, honestly, it kind of interferes with what is ultimately seems to be the main point of the movie. And, you know, so then that impact at the end of the movie is not quite there because of that. So overall, I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was extremely fun. Some characters that I like in the comic books done well, though, again, I think they could have done a little bit better, but done well. The world of the movie is extremely cool. Atlantis is just awesome. And the tone is very kind of upbeat and fun, you know? This kind of seems like a response in a way to some of the, you know, complaints about how dark the movies are. This is a little bit more upbeat, this is a little bit more fun, and that completely fits for Aquaman, you know? That works for Aquaman, and especially the way that Jason Momoa plays Aquaman. One thing I actually really enjoyed about this movie is that it's a little bit cheesy, and instead of being like, oh, we're going to try to, you know, hide that under the rug or whatever, you know, instead of being ashamed of its cheesiness or anything like that, it just totally owns that, yeah, okay, some of these things, it's a little cheesy, it's a little bit corny, but hey, you know what, we're going for it, and I liked that, and I thought that was fun, and it totally worked. It totally fit the kind of movie that it seemed like they were going for, and so, yeah, I liked that. So overall, this movie, it's not as good as it could have been, unfortunately, but it's still really fun. It's still really cool. If you like movies set in unique places, check this out. If you like superhero movies, definitely check this one out. And if you like Aquaman, I mean, this is a no-brainer. Check this one out. It's good.
The war is coming to the surface, whether you like it or not.
Mother always knew you were special. She believed you'd be the one to unite our two worlds.
Aquaman is rated PG-13 for sequences of sci-fi violence and action, and for some language. I would give this a 4 out of 5 stars on the enjoyability scale.
Atlantis has always had a king. Now I need something more.
But what could be greater than a king?
A hero.
Now, before I go, I'm going to rank the DC Extended Universe so far. So the movies we have so far, Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, Justice League, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and Suicide Squad. So those are all the movies. There's six of them altogether, so I'm going to rank them all in order of my favorite, which is seems to not be the average person's order of favorites. But anyway, here we go. Number six, so the worst of them, it's Suicide Squad, unfortunately. I honestly think this could have been my favorite of all of them, and so I hope they make a Suicide Squad 2. I like a lot of the characters, but unfortunately this is the least of the DC Extended Universe. Number five, we have Justice League. People seem to think that this was a step in the right direction. In my opinion, it was a step in the wrong direction for the franchise, but who am I? All right, number four. Now, number four and number three, I was kind of going back and forth on it a little bit. Number four, I have Aquaman. Now, but number three, I have Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. And you know what? Both of these have their positives and their negatives, and so it's like, you know, it's like, oh, which one of these do I put over the other one? Ultimately, here I got Batman v Superman over Aquaman, but, I mean, that could kind of go back and forth, I think, but I don't know. Right there is where I have it for now anyway. So number four, Aquaman. Number three, Batman v Superman. Number two, Wonder Woman, just a solid all the way around movie, good stuff. And number one for me remains to be Man of Steel, a hugely underrated movie. I really, really enjoy Man of Steel, and I am, you know, kind of sad that it seems like we're not gonna get a Man of Steel 2. I mean, it's been forever. We should get a Man of Steel 2. I mean, technically, Batman v Superman's almost a Man of Steel 2, and then Justice League is almost a Man of Steel 3. Because that's almost like a little trilogy right there. But still, you know, getting a legit Man of Steel 2 with Brainiac, maybe. That'd be pretty cool. I want to see that. Anyway, so there we go. That's my thoughts on Aquaman, and that's my thoughts on Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. What do you think of these movies? Shoot me an email, helixreviewspodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear your thoughts and opinions on these movies as well. As for next time, I know I've been promising and not delivering on the Favorite Things of 2018 episode, but that is coming up. That's in the pipeline. It will happen very soon. I think the only thing that might possibly come before it would be a review of Glass. So we'll see if that happens first or if the best of 2018 happens first. I'm still working on that. I'm still watching some things and doing some things in order to potentially add it onto that list. But I'm working on that, so expect that pretty soon here. So that's it for this time, guys. This is David Arrington of the Helix Reviews Podcast signing off. Bye-bye, guys.